Today, does using augmented reality increase your conversion rate? Microsoft's new ad format has a terrible name but a gorgeous look. Why are leading fashion brands deleting their social media accounts? Can brands play in the cameo space? And Trump sues every major social media platform for something free speech. It's Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. Happy World Chocolate Day. I'm Todd Maffin from EngageQ Digital, and here's what you missed today in digital marketing. As an agency owner, you know you've found a good client when their most common question isn't, how many Facebook fans do we have now? But rather, how did that affect our conversion rate? Conversion rate, return on ad spend, cost of acquisition, these are the metrics that matter. As an industry, we've got some access to pretty cool tools, among them augmented reality. You can let someone try on clothes or makeup virtually, or put them in the driver's seat of a car, or walk them around a house they're thinking of buying. But there's always been a gap between augmented reality and some of these more meaningful metrics. Sure, we can find out how many people use a Snapchat lens, for instance, but how does the use of that AR tool change the conversion rate? Now, we have some numbers. Numbers that come with two huge caveats. First, they're from Snapchat, which, of course, has a vested interest in making its AR tools look like good investments. And two, Snapchat's sample size here was only 10 in-app campaigns. That said, these data do show a positive correlation. The company says campaigns that included product experience lenses were twice as likely to drive statistically significant lifts in action intent compared to norms. Quoting Snapchat, across the 10 campaigns, lenses would have been credited with 45% more purchases on average when looking at any touch compared to last touch conversions. In comparison, Snap ads were much lower at 16%. Unquote. Another reason to make sure you know which touch model and attribution window is in place. Also, they do admit here there could be other factors that are providing a bump that they didn't account for in the study. But, quoting socialmediatoday.com, the data does show that AR tools are underrepresented for purchase attribution and could play a more influential role in driving purchase activity than many would suspect. And again, with AR wearables set to change the game again, it really is worth the time to consider the potential here and where AR may fit into your outreach strategy. Unquote. Snapchat is still working on the next iteration of its AR-enabled glasses. There's a link to Snapchat's full AR conversion report in today's premium newsletter. Microsoft has launched a new ad format, and it is gorgeous. It's a responsive unit. They call them multimedia ads. Come on, Microsoft. And they use a bit of machine learning to position your imagery in behind the copy. The only placement will be on Bing search result pages and will show up at the top of the results or on the right rail. Also, there'll only be one of these per page. As for what they look like, the top half uses the image full width as a background to the unit, and the left half of it is darker so that your headline, description, and CTA button can all lie on top. Then below, optionally, site links. The unit itself has rounded corners. Honestly, it looks fantastic. You can also get the unit without the site links, so that whole thing is a background image. Premium newsletter subscribers can see the samples, of course. These ads are available globally. Starting today, you'll be uploading 4 different aspect ratios of your image so it can fit where it needs to. And because your ad is exclusive per page, there are bid adjustment settings available. The fashion brand Balenciaga yesterday deleted all its social media posts. This ahead of its runway show that happened earlier today. Their Instagram profile is followed by 11.6 million people. They deleted almost everything, except for 2 stories promoting the show. There was no explanation or announcement about the deletion, though we can perhaps find a clue in a statement that the head of the brand made late last month. Quote, I think social media is boring and dangerously addictive for some, as well as super manipulative. We need to find new ways of using it that are less harmful to society, unquote. Manipulative, perhaps, but after the show, the Instagram account became more active, posting a couple dozen photographs of their new line. And look, I know I'm an aging white guy who has zero experience in high fashion, but I challenge any of you to look at these outfits and describe them as anything other than oversized bathrobes. Turns out this kind of anti-promotion is somewhat of a thing in fashion circles. 3 months ago, Bottega Veneta, which many people believe was the hottest fashion house on Instagram, dropped all of its social media. All of it. And replaced it all with a quarterly online magazine. The British designer behind the brand explained the decision this way, quote, "Everyone sees the same stream of content. A huge amount of thought goes into what I do, and social media oversimplifies it." TikTok is adding a new way for creators to monetize their accounts, cameos. If you're new to cameos, that's an app where people pay hundreds of dollars to get a private shout-out video from a B-list celebrity. There are wrestlers, actors, dancers, athletes, evil Dr. Will from Big Brother, $200, William Hung from American Idol fame, $40, former governor of Alaska Sarah Palin, $200, she's listed in the reality TV section, by the way. Sadly, Neil Patrick Harris, on whom I have an enormous crush, still not available. Anyway, TikTok, of course, won't be calling these cameos. They'll call them shoutouts. People pay in TikTok coins. That's its virtual currency that it's obsessed with. If you want to boost a post even, you've got to pay in coins, which makes it a little hard to understand what you're actually spending. I've always wondered, though, why brands aren't using cameos more often. I get that the platforms have to approve the people and they're focused on stars, but can you imagine a scenario where, with the help of AI, a brand's fictional representative, like Ronald McDonald, could churn out hundreds of low-cost cameos to people who want them? Hell, maybe make them free. If you could do this at scale, isn't it really just free advertising at that point? Or maybe go the other way. The brand's personality could do just one a month, auction it off to the highest bidder each month, and donate the proceeds to charity. Anyway, as for the TikTok implementation, it isn't out widely yet, but it is on the way. YouTube is testing some new moderation features. Quoting the company, "We are experimenting with a small number of creators, giving them the ability to define up to 3 channel guidelines for comments. These are a specific set of rules that everyone has to read and accept before they post a comment to your YouTube channel that help outline the kinds of conversations that you want to see on that channel," unquote. So it sounds very much like Facebook's group posting rules, which group admins can outline to help people color within the lines. If you're in the test pool, you'll see the new option in the community section of your YouTube studio settings. Also, they're now letting you see content that's held for review in their mobile app. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is back. Well, back in court. He has proposed class action lawsuits against Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as well as the CEOs of all 3 entities. Trump is, of course, banned from all 3 platforms. The premium newsletter has links to the actual court filings, in case you're curious. He called the cases a very important game changer for our country. He's also asking the court to declare Section 230 of the U.S.'s Communications Decency Act unconstitutional, which is weird, given that he cited Section 230 as the legal justification for his lawsuits in the first place. He went on to say, quote, "Once they get Section 230, they're not private companies," unquote. This, of course, isn't true. He won't settle. He says he expects, quote, "potentially trillions of dollars in damages, a number the likes of which nobody's ever seen before," unquote. There are also some references to immunologist Dr. Anthony Fauci in the documentation. Nobody's quite clear on why he's swept up in it all. Most analysts say his claims are based on untested and disregarded legal arguments. Interesting to note, one platform he's not suing, TikTok, which he tried banning from the U.S. after thousands of teens used the platform to punk one of his rallies. Trump says that wasn't the reason at all. Rather, he was concerned about the app's owner, which is based in
China.
And finally, Facebook this afternoon published a blog post titled, "How We're Making It Easier to Navigate Settings." At the time of our podcast recording, other than low-res stock photography of a gear icon, that was it. That was literally the entire post. A headline and an icon. Nothing at all on, you know, how to make things easier to navigate settings, maybe? You cannot make this up, friends. Follow-up visit to my optometrist yesterday. Got my new contact lenses. Yes, I can see really well now, distance, especially that they're not in the wrong eyes. But I've pretty much lost all of my up-close vision. Comes for us all, I suppose, at some time. But now I have to wear reading glasses just to sit at my computer. So that sucks. Anyway, I'm off to switch back from decaf to regular coffee because I figure I deserve it. Talk to you tomorrow. It's hard to believe it, but you know it when you see